minutes late, so we're just ready to get started. If Terry, you want to grab your seat? So I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant message facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceeding of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or on Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring in members as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages and following letters. Type 2 if you want to ask a question, C for a comment, P to propose, S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate a connectivity problem. Okay, so item 1, apologies.
The Chair with apologies from Councillors McGuinness, McAvoy and Finnegan.
Okay. Any further apologies from the Chamber in addition to those that Sarah called out? No. Okay. Chairperson's remarks. I want to kick off on the Chairperson's remarks by congratulating Aidan Cromie and his wife Karen, who run the Amazing Abilities Group in Silverbridge. Aidan picked up the Armagh Person of the Year award on Saturday night in the Armagh City Hotel. A fantastic group he runs out of the GA Club in Silverbridge to ensure that all kids have access to play and facilities, kids from all abilities. There was a lot of people from our council area represented there, with the local youth club from Cross McGlen as well, who were one of the 12 finalists, and Lily Rose Dorn, who's a fantastic young girl and shows that there are no barriers to what she can do. So well done to everyone. It was nominated in the last 12 and received an award, but a special congratulations to Aidan Cromie and Amazing Abilities in Silverbridge. I also want to congratulate the Bolster community, who won the Consumer Facing Award at the Social Enterprise Awards in Belfast earlier last month, just after our last council meeting. They were nominated across a number of categories, but it was special for them to win the one that was voted for by the people. They do incredible work right across our district, and huge congratulations to them on winning the Social Enterprise Award. Last month, like the previous council meeting, we were celebrating Armagh through a reception, civic reception. Last month, the opportunity of all the chairpersons and mayors across districts to cover Down to go to the Down GAA reception. A fantastic night in the Canal Court, where we had the Calcium Cup, the under-20 footballers and hurlers, who had all Ireland titles in their respective age range, and the minors with the Seamus Heaney Cup. So well done for everybody who organised that night. It was a spectacular set up in the room, and we actually had the Talchin Cup and the Sam Maguire brought into the Newry Leisure Centre this morning, and the main hall full of kids, and it was fantastic to see both successes being celebrated and enjoyed, and photos that would live in those kids' memories for years and years to come. On the Down thread, I do want to wish Kilcoo all the best for the Ulster final against Aircaldhearn on Sunday. Christmas light switch-ons have been going on across the district. We had Newry and Downpatrick over the last week. Fantastic effort by the events team in both areas. I want to congratulate Owen and his staff. I think, especially in Newry, the crowd was absolutely enormous in Newry, and the entertainment was brilliant, having the same band up in Downpatrick there on Saturday night. And we had the opportunity, instead of the chairperson switching on the Christmas lights, I don't think I'm going to press any buzzers this Christmas period, of taking the kids up, so selecting kids from the audience and letting them start Christmas in their respective towns and in the city. And that really went down a treat with some of the kids. I know in Cross Midland, the switch on, the Community Association done something similar. and they had Sonny Hannity. Young Sonny is going through his cancer battle, switching on the lights with his grandfather Jim, which was very, very special for him and the family and our extended family. But for Kayleigh, and who switched on the lights in Newry, and for Claire from the Drambability Group, who switched the lights on in Downpatrick, it's a memory that lived with them for a long, long time. And that's the people who should be starting Christmas, not somebody standing up there on a gold chain hitting a buzzer, in my opinion. My Christmas appeal has kicked off, and this year I am focusing on the team that I selected at the start of the year, which is inclusion and diversity, and visiting a number of groups right across the district who work with kids from minority backgrounds, kids with special needs, and those groups, not only shining a light on them, but to give them a check to help them with all their events that they're doing throughout the year. So I will be doing one group in each of the DEAs over the next couple of weeks, and promoting the good work that they do and making a donation towards the groups. And on Saturday, I had the pleasure of going to Downpatrick to meet the kids from Drambability that I talked about earlier on with Claire switching on the lights. Absolutely stunning what that group does. So kids with all different abilities putting on their Christmas production. And I know they do a production in the summer as well, but it was a strange feeling when we went up there, Sarah, because there was two lonely seats cut out in the middle of the floor, and they put on the first act of the performance. So we really got VIP treatment, and I'm looking forward to going to see the show at the weekend. It's on Saturday and Sunday at 2:30, and I can't thank them enough for all the work that they do for people in that group, especially with one of the members of the group who's there 6 years, and she's the Queen of Hearts. She was actually quite scary in the first act, but she was singing at the close of the first act and speaking to those that are running the group. She's in the group 6 years, and when she first came, wouldn't speak, and completely come out of her shell and singing, and has a main role in Drambability's play this year. So it shows the progress that people and the abilities that they can pick up through the Drambability group. So I'm delighted that they're my first group to cover the Downpatrick DEA, and over the next couple of weeks, we've been round to all the rest of the DEAs on a similar thread. We've kicked off our Violence Against Women and Girls campaign of 16 days of activism that obviously runs from the 25th of November to the 10th of December. And I know we've got a motion on it later on, which is very, very welcome. We're working in collaboration with Armagh, Banbridge and Craven Council. We've put out our media campaign on that. I met with Lord Mayor Sarah Duffy to kick that off for the 16 days of activism. And we will be hosting an event in February, because of the congestion around the Christmas period, we're going to host an event in February in Cross Midlen on the back of a recommendation that came out of the women's group on the council. So I think it's important that we highlight that when we're in 16 days of activism, and I look forward to the discussion and the motion later on. On behalf of the council, I want to offer our condolences to the family of the former CEO of Nurien Mourne Council, Thomas McCall, whose sister, Marie Graham, passed away. And I think if we could offer a letter of condolence from the council, if everybody's happy with that, and thank Valerie Hart for bringing that to my attention. Okay, that's me for chairperson's remarks. So moving on to item two, declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest? No. Okay, item three, the action sheet arising from council meeting held on the 4th of November 2024. And we go through page by page. So page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, page six, and page seven. Okay, can I get a pause 1 second?
So proposed, Chair.
Yeah. That's Councillor Andrews. Second. Yep. You, David. David, a second. Okay, so moving on to item four, minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of November 20. On the action sheet.
Yep.
Sorry. Right, go ahead, Glenn.
No, just looking at it here, it says here it was agreed that the matter of attendance at the National Association of Councillors AGM would be considered the party representatives, and it was agreed that the party representatives, that's the group leaders, assume that no representatives should be sent. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Does that mean that there's no one attending from the NAC, from ourselves at all now? Because I know Terry always attended, so...
Yep. Right.
Chair, that was a specific relation to an AGM of the NAC, but it was the AGM for the English branch of NAC. The party leaders had decided that it wouldn't be appropriate, but that there was Northern Ireland AGM, and ministers, I think, did attend. So it was agreed not to attend.
Marie, could I have a word with you at the meeting? Please.
Terry. Sorry, you come in now, Terry, yeah.
No, well, I'd like to see you after the meeting, Marie, if that's possible. I want to discuss something with you. Thank you.
Sorry,
no
could
problem.
I just pick up that it is a national one? So do you want to just maybe explain? Because we discussed it at party leaders, and it was supposed to be just an England one.
It actually was the national AGM. Councillor Derek Hussey from Derry and Strabane Council was appointed by the National Association of Councillors as national vice chair of the region. Some of our councillors have served in high office. We've had Councillor Charlie Casey was national chair, and Valerie served as senior vice chair of the organisation. I served as chair on the recently. It actually was the national AGM. All regions were present. Councillor Hussey was nominated by the Northern Ireland region to serve as national vice chair, and I'd like to congratulate Derek on his achievement to high office, and that's what it was, actually a national AGM. So it was.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay, I'd like to clarify that it's national, not England. Sorry.
Thanks, Terry.
Sorry, that probably should have been clarified then.
I didn't get a chance of clarification. Because
I don't want to go back and forth on this issue.
No, I'm not going to go back
and
forth.
I think there's been miscommunication on what the AGM was about or which region that it served. Can I ask that, you know, in future, that we're sending reps to meetings, that we have criteria laid out, whether that discussion has to be had with group leaders, because we certainly don't want people blocked from doing their job if they're nominated onto bodies. But we also don't want people going to conferences that aren't relevant to the council area, and we have to find a correct balance for that. So if we have that discussion with group leaders, can we have the information circulated with all groups, so we know the process of looking to go through.
I know what's the case.
Carrie, final word on this.
Yeah, final word. This process has been ongoing, because I know it was going back over 13 months or so, and I remember I did send an email, and I got a reply back to say that in future processes was that it would come to council for approval, which it has been doing for every time conference comes in. Democratic Services have put it on the agenda, and as I said, the process was that it was to be decided by the council, you know, present. But look, I think what's happened is there's been a breakdown of communications here. It's happened. I'm very disappointed, because whenever I'm appointed to something, I represent this council 110%, and I represent the members of the NAC of this council, along with others, members may add as well, because we've got colleagues here who have helped us best. So,
okay, thank you, Terry. And just to be clear, we asked in the council chamber for it to be sent back to the party leaders for a discussion around the content, but the miscommunication has been noted, and we'll make sure that we have the criteria very clearly laid out and brought to all councillors after this.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got a proposal and second for that. So item 4 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of November 2024. And we go through it page by page. So we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. Okay, can I get a proposal and second? Thank you, Charlie. Councillor Gaines, you're coming in on a matter of reason. Okay, go ahead. I'll wait. Get a seconder first.
Yep.
Seconder. Councillor Finn, second. Okay, Councillor Rosie.
Can I welcome the review into the Council's financial assistance programme following my motion for improvements to be made? There are some good measures being taken forward to simplify the application process for funding community grants, and want to thank the programmes unit for that. Community groups are the backbone of our district, and funding should be as accessible and fair as possible. That being said, there's one of the aspects I believe is outstanding.
Councillor Bowsey, what page are you speaking to from the council meeting?
The financial assistance.
What page are you on? I think that could be a committee item. PRT, which would be next in the agenda. Yeah. Okay, do you want to hold off then just to the next in the agenda, which will be now in 2 seconds? Yeah. Thank you. No matters arising. Okay. Item 5, minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee, meeting held on the 11th of November 2024. And we go through it page by page. So we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, and page 11. Can I get a proposal and seconder? Thank you. Councillor Quinn, seconder. Seconded from a member of the ERT committee. You, Councillor Cairns. Okay, Councillor Bowsey, what page are you on? Just to check. Page 4. Yeah, just checking. The item is in closed session, so to have a discussion on it now, we're going to have to go into closed session, Council. So can I get a proposal and seconder to go into closed session? So he's speaking to an application. You're speaking, you went on to say you're going to speak to something on it. We'll have to go into closed session.
But it depends if it's discussing the content over the motion.
Yeah. Can I get a proposal and seconder to go into closed session? If you're discussing the content, Councillor Hart and Councillor Lewis. Okay, just give us, bear with us a minute to be checked that the members of the public and press are online. Okay, whilst in closed session, it was agreed to approve the minutes of ERT 114/2024, with further paper to be brought to ERT in January regarding the consideration of an appeals mechanism for Stage 1. And that was proposed by Councillor Bowsey, seconded by Councillor Lewis. Okay. And the minutes are agreed to be proposed and seconded for the minutes already. Okay, so moving on to item 6.
Right, sure.
Oh, sorry. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, just another thing on that ERT. I just noticed, just I think it's on page 10, and then going into page 11. It's really the report from Ulster University. And I just read, it just was interesting, that the medium pay for residents and workers in the area substantially lower than other places. Obviously, floating around the bottom, if people look at that. The scale there, £100 a week, less than the highest earning area council area. So, just draw members' attention to this, and really, you know, reality is that we continue to be a lower wage economy in Uri and Mourne, and our aspiration should be to try and get out of that. We need to be able to demonstrate the need to. For his innovation into the area, where there's more innovation, higher, high-tech job, or whatever particular facet is, would deliver more high-end quality jobs than currently, or at least add to those, you know. So, you know, when we talk about our new hub in Uri, for example, where innovation is one of the things that have been proposed in it, certainly springs to mind the opportunity there is in this. But certainly, you know, those, and I think that has been the flavour of figures going the past number of years, that once we're in the bottom, and that's one thing we don't need is to be a low-wage economy. Be known for that.
Thanks for that, Councillor McIntyre, and thanks for highlighting that. And that presentation is on the ERT committee as well, because I know it's very hard to read on printout. But, yeah, Councillor McNeill, you're right. And I suppose that's one of the pillars of the Belfast Region City deal and skills, the skills pillar, to ensure that we do have the skills for those high-end jobs. And obviously, a part of the BCRD investment is to attract key sectors into Newry and keep people with those, that skills base in the city. And I understand when you're talking about the median wage in my own area, three of the towns in my area are in the top five in Nisra's deprivation income measures. So the lowest income right across the 850 towns. So it is something that we have to tackle. We have an opportunity at the council through the BCRD to tackle that, and it's certainly the intent and direction of all councillors here in the chamber. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much, Chair. This is in relation to one of the agenda items on the ERT committee, and it's in relation to the no prizes and guessings, the Ballykilner Hut. At this stage, I'd like to thank the officers for submitting the paper at the last ERT meeting about the Ballykilner Hut, seeking interest, you know, expressions of interest to people within the district to take on board the hut and preserve it, etc. And I welcome that. But I'm just wondering, if we do go through that process and stay local as best we can, and if there's no expressions of interest from district-wide residents, etc., can that expression of interest be extended to outside the district? You know, it's just sort of a plan B in case option A, you know, fails. But again, I'm delighted that that paper was submitted and the efforts to preserve such an important piece of history for generations to come. But again, thanks very much. But I just wanted to raise that point. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Andrews. And if it comes to the point where there's no expression of interest, it's my, you know, understanding it'll be reviewed at that time. But Conor, can you clarify?
It'll not be restricted to only applicants from within the district, but any application within the district would be given priority over one outside it.
Okay. Councillor Hannah.
And just, Conor, is that open yet?
Is that all the issues on the ERT agenda?
Yep.
Okay. We'll move on to item 6, which is the minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resource Committee, held on the 14th of November 2024. Page by page, we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Who's in second?
Happy to propose, Chair.
Councillor Sharpe proposes. Councillor Mathers, second. Any matters arising? That's fine. No matters arising. Okay. Item seven is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 18th of November 2024. And page by page, we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15. Okay, can I get a pause on second? Happy to propose, Councillor Harrell. Yeah, I'll take it. Councillor Lisa, a second. Yeah, any matters raised? Online, no? Moving on to item 8, which is the minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee held on the 20th of November 2024. Page by page, we go page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 7. Can I get a poll? Hold on a second. Councillor Campbell, proposed here, was it? Councillor Brennan.
No, I'll put comment.
Okay. Can I get a proposal on second first? Yep. Ms. Wagner. Councillor Clark. Okay. Councillor Laura, can you just switch your light off for a second?
Yes.
Councillor Clark. No. If somebody that was at the committee, can we get a seconder? Yeah. Okay. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Brennan, and then Laura, you can put your light back on there. It was just Councillor Brennan was not good.
Muala Bihas, Chair. It's just regarding section number 138, the Corrie's Corner bus stop. Apologies, I was moving house recently and I didn't properly read the minutes. When I proposed it, I asked the director to include a solar-powered light within the bus stop. There was one there previously, and it was actually verbally agreed, but it was missing from the minutes. Thank you.
Councillor Brennan, we're just discussing it as a closed item issue, but you're obviously asking for an amendment here. I just want to check the protocol. Do we have to go into closed session? But bear with me for one second.
Just back to confirm that we will get the solar light put on that bus shelter.
Okay, happy enough, Councillor Brennan. Protocol of closed session items. Okay, Councillor Devlin.
Yes, thank you, Chair. My item relates to the room, page 4, the business case, the removal of the Newcastle sandbar. I know that's also a closed item, Chair. I'm not looking to go into the details around the contract, but I want to make just maybe one wee point, if that's possible. It's not controversial and nothing that needs to go to committee for. It's just it's to do with actually the process. I think maybe the Sinead will be aware. Last time round, we had issues whenever the sandbar was removed. I think there was just an awful lot of debris last time round. And it was placed at a section of the Pebble Beach, as I call it, in Newcastle, where actually the waves don't come up. It actually didn't wash away, and it really caused an issue for the sea swimmers. And the pile was sitting there for a number of weeks, and thankfully we did get it levelled out and got it tended to. So I'm just wondering, whenever that contract does go out, can we make sure that we stipulate where the debris needs to be located and that it is located in the proper location that doesn't annoy our sea swimming community in Newcastle? Would be really appreciated.
Yeah, thanks. Councillor Devlin, Sinead.
Yes, that's fine. We can make sure that. Thank you. Thanks to Connor for sorting that out the last time. Sinead, much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other matters from Esney? Nope. Okay, moving on to item 9, the correspondence report. We've got 5 items of correspondence, 9.1 to 9.5, Department of Health, Department of Health, Southern Health and Social Care Trust, Ards North Down Borough Council, and the Department of Communities on the winter fuel payments. Correspondence from the BBC Director General, correspondence from the NIAS, Northern Ireland Land Service. I'm going to take any comments or questions on the correspondence before we go and get a proposal and technical on all 5. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. Just welcome the correspondence from the Department of Health and that they continue to prioritise the services, the maternity services of Daisy Health.
Councillor Murphy. Councillor Hannan.
Just on the correspondence back from the Department of Health around the notice of motion for Shemna House. It's quite timely that it's back this week from the Health Minister, because we've obviously heard the devastating news that it's going to close for 2 weeks over Christmas. There's many service users who've been in contact with me, and indeed Friends of Ward 15, as the advocates for the ward, are displaying great concern at this. So although I note the Minister's comments that he's going to be supportive for the service, it actually flies in the face of the decisions that have been made this week. So just want to put that on record, a disappointment at what is actually transpiring.
Thanks, Councillor Hannan. Any other comments or questions from the correspondents? Beck, Killian.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, just to echo Councillor Murphy's welcoming of the Health Minister's response on Daisy Hill. I know from speaking to staff at the hospital over the last couple of weeks that there have been some positive moves there from the Trust and the Department, including, I believe they're out to market now for 2 consultant obstetricians. There's enhanced overtime packages authorised for midwives. The Minister has pulled together other trusts and the management of the Southern Trust in order to find solutions and support for Daisy Hill's maternity unit. So, look, I think this is welcome. I think one of the big frustrations that people in Uri had when the executive was down was that there was nobody to turn to and there was nobody to listen to them. And I think that the Minister seems to be taking steps to address that. So that's to be welcomed. Of course, we have to keep a close eye on it, but I think we need to provide support and encouragement wherever something positive is happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fien. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. I was just as welcome the response from Minister Lyons there at 9.3 that we've all seen the impact of the detrimental impact that as Labour's removal of part of the winter fuel payments, and it was to is welcome that, and to welcome that there's been an additional 17 million found with executive colleagues, and to thank the minister there for his reply and the action that there'll be a £100 one off payment made. Thank you.
Councillor Lewis, Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose it's just a comment. Whenever we see this report in from the Southern Trustee about OBS and Gynae, and I suppose it just feeds into that bigger picture in Northern Ireland where we have no women's healthcare strategy. I know I've tabled many motions on this floor, as other councillors across the chamber as well, but we need to continue highlighting that from a female's perspective, absolutely, and we need to do that until such time so we have the women's healthcare strategy and it is adequately funded here in the North. So I just wanted to get my speak in there, Chair, and I've seen that on the report as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Devlin. Can I get a proposal and seconder for all 5 items of correspondence? Councillor Lewis?
Yep.
Proposed Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Feehan. Okay, on to the notice of motion. So, item 10, the notice of motion, Farmers Inheritance Tax, notice of motion by Councillor Michael Rice. Councillor Rice, if you read out your motion, tell us who's second it, and then you can speak to the motion.
You now, yeah?
Yeah, that's you now, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. This council recognises the vital role of family farms in supporting rural jobs, safeguarding food security and promoting environmental stewardship, as well as their integral contribution to the all-Ireland economy. We acknowledge the significant challenges facing the farmer community, including the £1 million inheritance tax threshold, which threatens generational farming and the absence of a dedicated agricultural budget. Furthermore, the uncertainty and funding losses caused by Brexit has exacerbated these pressures on the sector. This council calls on the British government to reverse the changes to the inheritance threshold and urges the Deira Minister to work with the executive to establish a ring-fence agricultural budget to secure the long-term future of farming in the north of Ireland. Chair, family farms are the backbone of rural communities, supporting thousands of jobs, ensuring local food production and contributing to the environmental sustainability. The work is crucial to supporting biodiversity and protecting natural habitats across the countryside. However, agriculture is not just an economic sector. It is a way of life that sustains rural traditions and strengthens communities across the island. Family farms are central to the all-island economy, benefiting from shared markets and cooperation. The £1 million inheritance tax threshold fails to account for the high value of farmland and essential equipment, jeopardising generational succession. This policy places undue financial pressure on farming families, potentially forcing the sale of land to cover tax obligations. The facts are many farmers have to work full-time to keep their farm afloat. Adding the additional tax burdens on this enterprise already struggles to make a profit above the national living wage will be a death knell for many farming families across this district. Therefore, without dedicated funding, the farming sector faces instability, impacting rural jobs, food security and environmental progress. A ring-fenced agricultural budget mirrors the EU's Pillar 1 funding, which provided certainty and stability for farmers. This approach would ensure our farmers are not disadvantaged compared to our counterparts in the south of Ireland. Family farms are leaders in our environmental efforts, from maintaining hedge growers to adopting sustainable farming practices. Supporting the agriculture and protecting the environment are not mutually exclusive. Both are essential for rural prosperity and resilience. Therefore, this motion is a clear statement of support for family farms and their contribution to society and the economy. We call on the British government to reverse the inheritance tax changes that will harm generational farming. We urge the Deira Minister to secure a ring-fenced agricultural budget, providing stability and ensuring the sector's long-term future. This issue transcends political divides. Rural communities across all backgrounds depend on a thriving agricultural sector. Supporting family farms ensures the economic resilience, environmental progress and the food security for everyone in the north and beyond. And the chair of the motion will be seconded by Councillor Inahama.
Thanks, Councillor Rice. Councillor Hannan, motion seconded. Okay, Sarah, can we get the list of all that before we don't switch off your lights till Sarah has the list here? We take everybody back in and all of them.
What was that, Chairman?
Just keep your lights on. It's just Councillor Hannan is seconding the motion, and I don't want to lose the list of people in order, so Sarah's going to switch off your lights and take you back in.
Okay. Chair, look, I'm happy to second the motion, and I think for me, you know, it's to note the many local farming families that have come to me over the last couple of months or a couple of weeks since this has been announced. And with real life situations and real life kind of scenarios of how it's actually going to affect them. And effectively, it's going to put their lights out for, I don't know what other way you could put it. It's a really ill thought out policy, and it really is just going to hurt small farmers. And, you know, especially here locally, I mean, if we look at the crowds of farmers that attended the ICON Centre, I don't recall any farmers coming out in that numbers before. They're traditionally too busy to leave their farm. For them to take a night off to go up there shows the, I suppose, the ferocity of their feeling towards this. So, I mean, to think that the future of farming and succession planning is at jeopardy is really, really worrying. So, happy to second the motion, and thanks to Michael for bringing it this evening.
Councillor O'Reilly.
Thanks, Chairman. Chairman, the DUP had brought forward a very similar motion, and I had assumed that they would have been incorporated with language that suited everyone, but Chairman, the agriculture property relief tax was and is an essential component of farming right across the UK, and particularly so in Northern Ireland, where there's such a high percentage of farms are family farms. Chairman, the Chancellor of the Exchequer did identify that very, very extremely wealthy people were using agriculture land as a tax shelter, and that was actually putting the price of land up right across the UK. But instead of actually targeting that very, very small percentage of landowners who were gaming the system to get to put in huge amounts of money into land specifically for the tax relief, she's gone after the ordinary farmer, who is the backbone of the farm. And even in Northern Ireland, 20% of the UK's food, 20% is produced by Northern Ireland farmers. Some of the most productive farmers in Europe, if not the world. And what the fear they have is now, if they keep working, keep investing, keep building their farm up, it won't be viable for the next generation, because they'll have to pay a huge amount of tax. £1 million or £2 million seems a lot of money, but it's absolutely nothing nowadays in agricultural terms. And Chairman, the Labour government should relook at this and introduce an active farmer's test. And if the farmer can prove that he is an active farmer, tilling the ground and producing food that the country wants, he is tax exempt. The property tax relief by the agricultural property relief goes back to that active farmer. And then she can deal with all those wealthy guys who are exploiting the system, gaming the system. Chairman, Michael just mentioned about Brexit. Chairman, in many ways, Brexit allowed us to dodge a bullet, because if you look what's happening to our cousins in the south of Ireland, at the minute, the EU is putting re-wetting rules on land that was drained. Some of the most productive land in Europe. And they want to rewild this, re-wet it, you know, flood it. And 50,000 hectares before 2030. And I'd be talking to farmers down the south all the time, and they're very, very worried. And they still have a property tax in the south. But there's ways around it, and if you recall, a number of years ago, there was the absurd situation where a man was going to marry a son to qualify for enhanced relief and this type of thing. And that's what will happen up here if the Chancellor of the Exchequer doesn't recognise what they've done wrong and and go back and allow some form of active farmer status that that qualifies for agriculture property relief. And Chairman, in terms of Brexit also, in regards to what Michael said, Northern Ireland and the devolved assembly, the agriculture minister, Edwin Putz, is a farmer, an active farmer. And he actually introduced an excellent scheme for our farming community. Now, it's area-based, and it's capped at 60 quid or 60 grand per farm. But that is that will represent the bulk of the income of many farmers in Northern Ireland. And that is guaranteed for the next 5 years at least. So Michael shouldn't be creating anxiety for the farming community where that anxiety would be misplaced. But certainly in terms of the property relief, agriculture property relief, that needs to be really well looked at again. And the minister make what is a simple assertion that an active farmer is exempt. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Reilly.
Councillor McAteer. Yeah, thanks, Chair. And again, thank you, Michael, for bringing this motion. I too actually had submitted a motion this as well. So, along with Councillor Reilly, it shows you how important people view this and how much commentary and questions were. We're getting from our former constituents about this. Now, I suppose the reason why our motions aren't is that Rugall, I think, dictates that the first motion received is the one that actually is put on the agenda. But anyhow, I will just make a few comments on it. I have an amendment as well, just to go to supplement it. Again, you know, it goes without saying that what it proposed by the Chancellor of the Exchequer. I don't actually realise, I don't think that possibly she realised the impact that this would have over here in North of Ireland. I believe the target really was large businesses and estates owned by investment companies and lords and ladies of the lands as such and non-farming millionaires. And so I think we're actually a victim maybe of unintended consequences. So a quick calculation shows, and I'm probably being very lenient in this, that land at £25,000 an acre or £20,000 an acre here, which is in South Down quite common, unfortunately, and 40 acres takes you to 800,000, and the government proposed to tax not only the land, but certainly the livestock that are on the land, the buildings that the livestock are housed on, and the machinery used to farm and farming practices. So that's a serious wake-up call for people, and that's why people are so churned and outraged about this. And they are, you know, people are saying, oh, yes, a good accountant can handle these things, but the situation is raised for someone's widowed or whatever, and head of the farm business dies, suddenly the situation could turn rapidly bad where the family is really basically on the road and have to sell a high proportion of not all the land to pay the government. So this is how serious this is. We have really a tax asset rich and cash poor industry here, created by high land prices. I think that's what really is driving this and what's the big impact. So my amendment will really address some of the gaps as such, or not supplementary detail, highlighting how relevant this is to our particular area here in our council area, while at the same time supporting the main thrust of my motion. So I'll just read this. To be read as, this council recognises the vital role of family farms in supporting rural jobs, safeguarding food security and promoting environmental stewardship, as well as their integral contribution to the all-island economy. We acknowledge the significant challenges facing the farming community, including the £1 million inheritance tax threshold, which proposes to tax land, associated buildings, livestock and machinery, and combined with the absence of a dedicated agriculture budget, it will create a financial time bomb on many local agricultural holdings. The proposal to tax asset-rich but cash-poor farming families highlights a lack of governmental understanding around this complex issue and threatens generational farming. This district is set to suffer most owing to our land prices and values set at well above the Northern Ireland average. Furthermore, the uncertainty and funding losses caused by Brexit has exacerbated these pressures on the sector. This council then calls on the British government to reverse the changes to the inheritance tax threshold, given the differential between land values here compared to price in England, and urges the Dairy Minister to work with the executive to establish a ring-fence agriculture budget to secure the long-term future of farming in the north of Ireland. And I know the original motion hadn't really indicated where we were sending this to, but I guess that's the area that we should send this motion to the Chancellor of Exchequer, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and the Dairy Minister, Andrew Muir. So that's, I hope Michael doesn't find that upsets his original motion too much. I think it adds good value to it. I think it reflects probably what most people here on our farming community are thinking. So thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Have you got a seconder for that proposal?
Yep.
Councillor Fien. Councillor Rice, do you accept the amendment? For everybody's information, the amendment is sent by Sarah around to all councillors, if you want to take a minute or two to read it. If you're late, you can switch that, Sarah. Over to you. Yeah, Sarah has the list. I don't press your button back on. It's just to deal with this amendment first before we go ahead. Has all parties had a chance to read it, or do you need an extra minute? Councillor Rice?
Chair, well, I welcome Councillor McAteer's comments. I feel like the motion itself covers, in essence, essentially what Declan's proposing, and the speaking notes as well pretty much covers that, so unfortunately I won't be accepting that.
Okay, Councillor Rice hasn't accepted the amendment. It goes to a vote on the floor. So we're voting on the amendment. Go on.
Recorded vote, Chair. I think it's quite important.
Okay, there's been a call for a recorded vote from the floor. Okay, bear with us for a minute while Sarah gets the list, and we have members online as well.
Okay, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Bowsey. Councillor Brennan. It's okay. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Campbell. Councillor Clark. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Enright. Councillor Feehan. Councillor Finn. Councillor Finnegan is absent. Councillor Galbraith. Councillor Gibbons is online.
Against.
Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hart. Councillor Howell. Councillor High is online.
Against.
Councillor Jackson. Councillor Kearns. Councillor King. Councillor Larkin is online.
Against.
Councillor Lee Searchner. Councillor Lewis. Councillor McGuinness is absent. Councillor Mathers. Councillor McAteer. Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor O'Hare. Councillor Declan Murphy. Councillor Kate Murphy is absent. Councillor Selena Murphy. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice. Councillor Rowan. Councillor Sharvin is absent. Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tinley. Four. Councillor Treesdale. Councillor Young is online.
Against.
Five. 8-4, 22 against, and 6 abstentions.
Okay, so the amendment falls. Okay, the list that was recorded, we got the next. Don't press your lights, we'll take it in the order. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. There's no doubt that the recent announcement in the budget regarding the significant changes to the agriculture property relief will have a devastating impact on Northern Ireland farmers. And it's certainly likely that it'll force many family farms out of business that have been within the family structure for many generations. I attended the event that took place that was organised by the Ulster Farmers Union in the Acorn Centre this night, fortnight ago. And the sheer volume of numbers that were there showed the serious concern that exists within the farming community about the implementation of this proposal. And I think anybody that was present that night, when you hear the passion of the speakers, those that will be directly impacted by the changes made in the budget, when you hear the passion of they outlined that evening and the detail about the impact that that will have, not just on the present, but the future sustainability of their farms, it certainly highlights the seriousness of this issue and the fact that the government do need to listen to the representations that have been made on it. And there are concerns as well regarding the budget, obviously, and the fact that it's no longer ring-fenced. And these decisions will not only be bad for the farming community, which is the most important thing here, but also for food consumers and the public in general. And we need to give our farmers, the maximum support that we can as a council. They're a vital, part of our local economy. They provide a vital service to each one of us. And no feeling from the representations and discussions that I have had with constituents in May, over the recent weeks since this was announced, there are really relevant and really genuine concerns about this. I know that all parties in Northern Ireland have been making strong representations on this matter, and we certainly feel that the government does need to take a serious look at this again. I feel, and certainly my own party feels, that it's almost like it's demonstrating an offensive against the agricultural sector. And that has the potential for devastating consequences for everybody. So I would certainly make a plea to the Chancellor and to the Prime Minister and to all those that have the power to review this decision and make the necessary changes. Because if it proceeds within the current vein that they intend to, it will have serious consequences, particularly for the farming community, for us all down the line. So I certainly know that we can make our feelings known here tonight on the issue, but I certainly hope that the powers to be will listen and give this the seriousness that it requires. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. We have no issue supporting this motion, so thank you to Councillor Rice for bringing it. The Deer Minister has strongly opposed these changes since they were announced in the budget, and he's already undertaken extensive engagement within the UKG to urge them to rethink. We feel like the rest of you, like the UK budget was a bad budget for farmers, and Northern Ireland will be disproportionately affected by the change to agricultural property relief. Despite the Chancellor's assurance that 3/4 of claims will be unaffected by these changes, DERA data suggests that 1/3 of farms here could be impacted, and as many as 3/4 of them dairy farms. The changes to agricultural property relief re-emphasise the importance of succession planning for farming families in Northern Ireland, and we must continue to support and encourage young people to pursue agricultural careers if we are to retain our thriving agri-food industry in Northern Ireland. As Councillor Rice alluded to, the end of agricultural funding being ring-fenced by Westminster is also a concern.
The Dairy Minister has formally asked the Finance Minister that the resource dell that has been baselined in a block grant be treated as executive earmarked funding for agriculture. The Agri-Environment, Fisheries and Rural Development purposes and uplifted it in line with inflation as part of the executive's budget exercise for the next financial year. And finally, as also Councillor Rice said, agricultural funding is critical for tackling climate change, protecting our natural environment and supporting our economically and socially significant agri-food sector. Thank you, Councillor Rice, for bringing it up.
Thank you, Councillor Fuzel. Councillor Jackson.
Hi, thank you, Chair. Yeah, just on behalf of the DUP group here, just want to reiterate our full support for our local farmers against the Labour government's farmers' inheritance tax. And we have been campaigning strongly at a local level, council and obviously the local assembly, and also at the Econ Centre with the level of support we had there. But also crucially, through our representation with our MPs over at Westminster, when we've met directly with the British government on this issue and pressed home our opposition to it. Say we do support the opposition to the farmers' inheritance tax, and we would like to propose a few amendments to tonight's notice of motion, just on the wording. And if I could just highlight those couple of amendments that we would be proposing. The first paragraph, we would like to change the word "all island" to "regional." Second paragraph, after farming, take out those lines "until pressures on the sector" and replace that with "regrets, furthermore, despite farm support budgets being maintained at pre-Brexit levels for the duration of the last Parliament, that Labour has abandoned the principle of a dedicated agricultural budget." And then just in the last paragraph, replacing the word "British" to "UK government." And on the last line, instead of "in the north of Ireland," replacing that with "locally." Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Jackson. Just bear with us. Sarah, did you get all that? Johnny, can you send that through? If you've got it on screen, send it through to Sarah so we can check it out. Councillor. Sarah. Yeah, that's been circulated to all councillors, so again, give 2 to 3 minutes for people the opportunity to read it. Okay, then we have the opportunity to read it. Okay, Councillor Rice, back to yourself for the accept the amendments.
Thanks, Chair. Unfortunately, no, I'll not be accepting the amendment.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Rice. That means we're back to a vote on the floor. The amendment hasn't been accepted by the proposer of the motion. So, again, we go to a roll call from Sarah. And we're voting on the amendment.
Against.
We'll try and do this vote on the amendment by a show of hands. I'm aware that there are members online, and if you click and raise your hand online for...
We will ask for a recorded vote, please.
That takes that away. Okay. A recorded vote has... we're trying to use the new system here. A recorded vote has been called by Councillor Lewis. Can I get a second for the proposal? Councillor.
Okay, Councillor Andrews?
Against.
Councillor Bisey?
For.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Feehan?
Against.
Councillor Finn. Councillor Finnegan is absent. Councillor Gilbreth.
Against.
Councillor Gibbons.
Against.
Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah.
For.
Councillor Hart. Councillor Howell. Councillor High.
Against.
Councillor Jackson. Councillor Kearns. Councillor King.
Against.
Councillor Larkin.
Against.
Councillor Lee Searchener.
Against.
Councillor Lewis.
For.
Councillor McGuinness is absent. Councillor Mathers.
Against.
Councillor McAteer. Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor O'Hare.
Against.
Councillor Declan Murphy. Councillor Kate Murphy is absent. Councillor Selena Murphy. Councillor Quinn. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice.
Against.
Councillor Ruan.
Against.
Councillor Sharvin's absent. Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinley? Councillor Treesdale? Councillor Young?
Against.
So I have 6-4 and 30 against and no abstentions.
Yes, the amendment falls. Councillor Lewis, you're next in line to come in.
Thank you, Chair. It was disappointing that that amendment wasn't taken, as we had just sought to maybe make it a wee bit more sort of inclusive with the its language. I suppose that I would start by saying that we fully support the farmers, particularly those that are seeing an increased hardship. When I was young, I used to play in what was called the Clock Co-op. It was a grain store. But what makes that unique is it was run by a cross section of local farmers, and it didn't matter who you were, what you were, that those farmers come together to support and help each other. And I suppose that that's what makes this attack all the more despicable, that local farmers have always worked in cohesion with each other. There is 25,000 farms across the Northern Ireland. There is 75% of the land is used for agricultural purposes. And it brings a huge amount of money into our local economy. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that there's nobody sitting tonight
Labour HQ waiting on the result of our vote or to hear what's said, but it is a start, and it does add to the ongoing calls from across the country for people to stand up for our local farmers, stand up for their way of life. And I have no doubt that Sir Keir Starmer doesn't know the first thing about farming, particularly not here in South Down. He will be more accustomed to getting free suits, free clothes and free holidays. He doesn't know the burden that our local farmers have to go through. And what we're starting to see is that we're heard about Tory cuts and Tory austerity. What we're starting to see is the true nature of them is Labour. High tax and high spend has never worked, and their attacks on the pensioners, farmers, has been utterly deplorable. And the sooner that we see this rotten government brought down and out of office, that they better, sure.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Okay, that's all speakers in the motion. So, as the motion stands as submitted, proposed by Councillor Rice, seconded by Councillor Hannan, is everybody in agreement with the motion?
No.
Yeah, so we'll have to go to a vote. Everybody's in agreement. We're going to try a show of hands on this. So for everybody online, raise your hand for for or against. Just click on your way. That's that gone again. So there's a call from the floor for a recorded vote. Councillor Hannah. Yep. Bear with us till Sarah goes through the list again. So we're voting on the motion as read, proposed by Councillor Rice, seconded by Councillor Hannah. Either for the motion or against. Henry, come in the microphone.
I'm not criticizing you, Chairman. I'm just saying that it's not a shame on a serious issue like this that we couldn't have met compromise. Some of the terminology used is toxic to unions, and if that was moderated a bit, then we can all put our hands up in support. But, you know, if you're using it to take a go at the UK government, you know, or the British establishment, it's a bit difficult for us then to say, yes, we're 100% behind you, mate.
Councillor O'Reilly, amendments were chaired and voted on accordingly. So we're now at the point of voting on the motion. So, recorded vote over to Sarah. So, Bowsy, can you switch your microphone off to be the recorded vote? Mm-hmm. We'll go on the recorded vote. We have to deal with the vote. Okay, Sarah, can you hold on? Okay, I'll take. No, you can switch your light on. I'll take you in after in a second. Councillor Bowsy.
I just want to agree with what Councillor O'Reilly has said. Our biggest market is the GB market, so why would you have a motion that talks about the second biggest market? Why not have what's wrong with regional? You know, and Brexit, we're clearly divided on Brexit. Why put in something that's clearly going to cause division on an issue that we're otherwise agreed on? Alliance call themselves cross-community party and won't agree to an amendment that makes it more cross-community.
Okay.
Just for the record, we did actually reach out to the DUP, but they decided that they wanted to make an amendment on the night, so we wouldn't have been aware of what the amendment is, so therefore we're going to the vote.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification, Councillor Hannan. And as some members across the chamber have stated, we've debated and we've dealt with the amendments as per Sean and others, and we're now on the vote, so I'm going to hand over to Sarah.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
For the motion.
Councillor Bowsy.
Against.
Councillor Brennan. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Campbell.
For.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Devlin. Councillor Enright.
For.
Councillor Fian.
For.
Councillor Finn. Councillor Finnegan's absent. Councillor Galbraith.
For.
Councillor Gibbons.
4.
Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah? Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell? 4. Councillor Harry?
4.
Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
4.
Councillor Larkin?
4.
Councillor Lee Searchener?
4.
Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness is absent. Councillor Mathers?
4.
Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor O'Hare?
4.
Councillor Declan Murphy? Councillor Kate Murphy is absent. Councillor Selena Murphy? Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley?
Against toxic language used.
Councillor Rice?
4.
Councillor Wong?
4.
Councillor Sharvin is absent. Councillor Taylor? Councillor Taylor is absent. Councillor Tinley? Councillor Traesdale? Councillor Young?
4.
So I have 34 and 5 against and no abstentions.
Okay, so motion passes. Back over to Councillor Rice. One second.
Thanks, Chair. No, I just wanted to thank the opportunity to bring this motion tonight. As a farmer myself, people need to realise how disastrous this tax law is going to be on generations of farming. Having listened to the debate and acknowledged that while everyone is in support of this, or support for opposition to the tax bill, the reason why the reference to the Brexit was put into this is because since Brexit, there has been an exacerbated pressure put on the sector through fears of funding cuts. I'm a farmer myself. I experience it. I know it. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Rice. That motion has passed. Okay, moving on to item 11, notice of motion, gender-based violence against women. And it's from Councillor Quinn. Councillor Quinn, if you can read out your motion, tell us who's seconded it. And speak for
thanks, sir. This council notes the growing concern regarding the epidemic of gender-based violence against women. This concern has been heightened by racial sexual assaults in Derry and the tragic death of 5 women in the past weeks in the north. In response to this council writes to the Justice Minister and the Justice Department, urging them to expand the categories of significant persons when applying for a non-molestation order to include individuals who have been in a significant relationship but did not cohabit. This would align with the provisions in the UK, where similar provisions are offered, and within the safety order provision in the Republic of Ireland. Additionally, this council calls on other councils in the north to support this motion, therefore advocating for the extension of similar protections for women in the north, ensuring they are afforded the same safeguards as those in the UK and in the Republic. And this is to be seconded by Councillor Declan Murphy. Statistics reveal that 98% of women have reported experience at least one form of abuse in their lifetime. This is not a number, but a reflection of the serious issue in our society today. In recent years, the rise of femicide and sexual violence has caused great concern, particularly here in the north, given the recent statistics that we have seen lately, showing the north of Ireland having the third highest femicide rate in Western Europe. What's most alarming is that the majority of these crimes, the victims know their attacker. This tells us that the violence against women often occurs in spaces where they should feel the safest, in their homes, in their relationships and within their communities. However, people in the north face unique challenges compared to those in the south or across the water. Our legislation, the Family, Homes and Domestic Violence Act 1998, fails to account for those in abusive relationships but who never lived with their abuser. Abuse is not confined to physical violence. It includes emotional, psychological and financial abuse. Yet many vulnerable women are left unprotected because they do not meet the criteria under this law. For those people, the only other option may be a civil injunction. These can be very expensive if you're not eligible for legal aid and do not provide relief schemes such as the Financial Assessment Domestic Violence Scheme available for those obtaining a non-molestation order. An injunction can also take a lot of time and therefore there's no real sense of urgency than that of a non-molestation order. This creates another barrier to safety and justice for women. Violence against women knows no borders. It transcends counties, communities and backgrounds. Yet the reality is grim. Since 2020, 58 women have been murdered on these islands. It's totally unacceptable reality that we are letting people down in the north with these inequalities and legal protections. Gaps in these laws, such as this, fail to safeguard those in non-cohabitating relationships. The inconsistency of having two separate legal institutions across this island further compounds the issue. Women's access to protection should not depend on where they live, yet different legal frameworks means that they're left with fewer safeguards than others. Every person deserves the same protections regardless of where they live or their own personal circumstances. It's imperative that we attempt to address this and work together so that no one feels left behind. I'm very conscious of the fact that many males who are victims of domestic violence and should not shy away from these conversations, but have them openly and in a safe environment to remove any stigmas. But I can't bring this motion without commenting on the fact of the epidemic that is gender-based violence in our society today. In 2024, the statistics speak for themselves. It's a growing issue that I felt that needed to be highlighted. I myself can see, with speaking with friends, families and colleagues and many other women, that there's a very heightened sense of violence in the area for women at the moment. And every life lost is one too many. We must create an island that's safe for all. Every person deserves the right to live free from fear and feel safely in their own homes. And I hope this would create one small step in doing so for me and my gosh. Sure.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn. Councillor Murphy, your second. Do you want to speak to the... Councillor Hanna.
Chair, we in the DUP are happy to second this here. As the proposer of the motion has indicated, gender-based violence against women has become significant. It is. I know my daughter, Stormont, has set up a group there so this is a cross-party group so that is to deal with this. And this really does need to, the profile of it needs to be raised considerably. It is. There has been quite a bit done, but the Justice Minister actually carries quite a bit of responsibility in this. She needs to start and lead from the front on this here. The sooner she gets the laws properly into place that are the most inclusive as possible on trying to protect women in very vulnerable situations, this needs to be done urgently, so it is. And to be quite honest, we talk about North and South, this should be worldwide, so it should. There's no boundaries to this. So the violence against women is quite honestly shameful, so it is. And the provision of all safe people in place as soon as possible. So I commend yourself there for bringing it forward. That's our position, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Reidy.
Yes, Chairman. Chairman, I was at the Police and Community Safety Partnership meeting last week online, and the divisional commander was actually emotional when he was talking about how a policewoman, young policewoman, who challenged a big man who was involved in alleged illegal activity, and that man pummeled that woman, pummeled her, broke four of her teeth, smashed her whole face up. And when the man was arrested, he was brought to court on the Monday morning and given bail. And the police thought, sure, this man could do this again. But, Chairman, it just seems that all these attacks on women, the police are trying their best, but the judiciary is letting women down by allowing these people back out into the community immediately. And, Chairman, the Police and Community Safety Partnership agreed that we write to the Lord Chief Justice asking for a review of how people who have offended against women are given early bail or allowed out without the proper conditions being placed on them. And I'd be grateful if the council would do the same, if Marie could liaise with Mr. Heslop and agree a letter that could go, Chairman. But certainly I agree with the proposer, Chairman. It's very well thought out.
Yeah, Councillor Reilly, you asked for that letter to be an amendment to the motion. An amendment to the motion that you're proposing. That a letter is also sent.
Yeah.
Give me a second of that. There he has, Councillor Andrews, a second. Councillor Quinn.
To review it. Just a letter to Lady Chief Justice Siobhan Keegan in order to look into how male offenders are remitted to bail. Yeah, that's fine. Yep.
Yes. Thank you.
Yep, Chair. Thanks, Councillor Quinn, for bringing forward this motion. I think as we've all seen in the content of the motion, the recent assaults and deaths that have occurred, they're absolutely tragic and certainly highlight the clear need that there is for this issue to be given priority that it requires and deserves. And indeed, part of that is ensuring that the legislation and regulations that are applied deal appropriately with the in tackling the violence against women and girls in our society and community, and that the laws that are in place are responsive to the developing challenges that there are in respect of this issue. So I've no doubt, obviously, there will be widespread support around the chamber for this tonight, but I certainly hope that the Justice Minister and the powers that be give us the necessary attention that it requires, and that there's no delay on that also. So thanks to you, Councillor Quinn.
Councillor Taylor. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, just to say, on behalf of the SDLP, we are fully supportive of this motion that's been brought forward by Councillor Quinn, and would like to commend the Council for launching their campaign towards end violence against women and girls through 16 Days of Action. And I would also like to commend my Council colleague, Conor Galbraith, for bringing forward similar motions last year. There has to be a societal response to violence against women and girls in our homes, in our workplaces and on our streets. No woman should ever have to live with the daily threat of violence or have their life ended in this way. However, the very sad and really actually quite scary reality is that Northern Ireland remains one of the most dangerous places in Europe to be a woman, with a femicide rate twice that of Britain. Motions like this one from Councillor Quinn are vital for raising the issue of violence against women and girls in our society, as well as drawing attention to how we can better our society and create better safeguards within the justice system, which has to instill confidence in those victims who bravely come forward. While any form of violence against women or girls is unspeakably wrong, it is vitally important that we as councillors speak up proudly and loudly to say that it has no place within our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, and that's why we're really happy to support the motion this evening.
Thank you, Chair. We absolutely support the motion, but the legislation that the motion relates to belongs to finance, so we would have to write to Dr. Archibald as well as Minister Long in order that it goes to the right department. And that's just if we want to put that in, if you want to put that in, or we can make an amendment to it, whatever you decide. With regards to what Councillor Riley said, absolutely agree with everything that he said. That was a really hard PCSP, which Councillor Andrews was also at. It was a really difficult listen, and it really, really brought home how we must do better. So thank you, Councillor Riley, for bringing that motion, that extra amendment into that. Thank you.
Councillor Truesdale, your amendment to write to the Finance Minister as well. Have you got a seconder for that? Councillor Henry. Councillor Quinn. Nice long. Nope, wait a second.
Yeah, no, I don't feel the need that it would need to write to the Finance Minister. It's a legislative power that's in the Justice Department, so I don't understand why we would be writing to the Finance Minister on that.
Yeah, we'll have to take that to a vote. Councillor Finn?
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, just because this is such an important issue, just to seek a bit of clarity on which piece of legislation that would relate to, because I think it is important that it goes to the right person or people, if it's both, if it's either of them, but just to get a bit of clarity on which piece of legislation that it would relate to for the Finance Minister.
Okay, so that's just before we go to vote, we have a request on the floor for clarity. So that's clarity on the amendment to the Finance Minister and where the remit of the Finance Minister is. Yes, so Councillor Truesdale, can you expand on your point for writing to the Finance Minister and the reasons for it?
Thanks, Chair. No, I can't. I'm sorry, because I just put it past the Policy Development Officer and he said that belongs under Finance, not Justice. So I haven't had a chance to actually dig out the legislation.
Councillor Truesdale, does your amendment still stand? So we're asking people in the chamber looking clarity of which minister to write to. Does your amendment still stand?
Justice will send it to the right department.
Can I
amend? Withdraw the amendment. Okay. Happy enough, we don't have to go to,
yeah, that's
go
fine.
To a vote. Okay. Any other speakers on the motion? That's everybody that's all parties spoke. So everybody in agreement? Okay. Councillor Quinn, to sum up.
No, thanks for the support. It's something that I have been looking at for a while. It was happening in comment when it was mentioned whenever a young vulnerable female had attended our offices
And it was a situation where she couldn't get an annulment order because she did not live with her abuser. So it sort of sparked a sort of a whole debate of research and stuff like that. So happy for the comments from everyone, and I hope it does progress somewhere. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Quinn. I'm fitly inside the 16 days of activism, so thank you for bringing the motion. Okay, moving to item 12, which is the notice of motion, Trauma Informed Council. And the motion is from Councillor Truesdale. Understanding order 16.1.6, that will be sent to the AHC committee. So, Councillor Truesdale, can you read your motion out to the Council? Tell us who's seconded it, and I'll go to AHC.
Thank you, Chair. The motion will be seconded by Councillor Enright. That this Council commits to becoming a trauma-informed Council. Trauma-informed practice is grounded in the understanding that trauma has a significant impact on a person's life. The prevalence of trauma can have an impact on the emotional, physiological and social well-being of a person. We live in a post-conflict society and we don't have a shared narrative of the troubles. Some of us have been impacted more than others, but the trauma will have hit most families in the province and it can be passed down through the generations also. A trauma-informed lens is one that means we all make the decision to avoid triggering others and are more conscious of sensitivities around troubles-related incidents. A trauma-informed approach has already been implemented in many councils across the water, but in my mind, there's a higher need for it here. As the council, we need to develop our understanding of what being trauma-informed means across councillors and council officers for this initiative to really benefit our residents. As a post-conflict society, we need to do better, and that means being careful with others around sensitive anniversaries. There are organisations that do training in this area, and I believe our council would benefit from undertaking such training and moving forward to become more trauma-informed. You never know who you're speaking to or who may hear you and be triggered. Thank you. Councillor Enright.
Item 13 is the notice of motion, medium to long term rates, and the notice of motion is from Councillor Enright. Again, under understanding order 16.1.6, this will go to Strategic Finance Working Group. So if you can read out your motion, Councillor Enright, and tell us who's seconded it.
Thanks, Chair. Councillor Jill Truesdale is seconding my motion, that this Council recognises that the trajectory of our medium to long term rates needs to be reduced as rates in Northern Ireland are very high compared to other parts of these islands. Council needs to aim to sustainably live within its means, delivering frontline services affordably and at the best cost available to the ratepayer. Council will ensure all discretionary non-frontline projects have clear and dependable payback, 3 to 8 years, that will increase revenues or reduce expenses within Council to ensure that we can hold rates increases to as close to zero as possible for the next 5 years. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Enright. That concludes the meeting for tonight. It's the last meeting before Christmas, so I want to wish everybody in the chamber a very happy and healthy Christmas and New Year. I especially wanted to congratulate Councillor Riley, but he shot out before the end on the birth of his new granddaughter, Olivia, who was just born this weekend. I hope he spends some well-deserved time off with his granddaughter and his other grandkids over Christmas. And to everybody in the chamber, happy Christmas.